WrestleMania 30 right here in the Silverdome. I can't believe I'm the special host here for WrestleMania. I'm sorry, it is the Superdome,
there
brothers.
There you go. Yes. I'm excited too.
Yes, Greg, pull your microphone like a man. Just pull the whole thing. There you go.
Now it's too close.
I thought you're physically strong.
Now it's too close.
No, it's not. That's fine. Nothing's too close to you. You're always quiet.
This is ridiculous.
I don't even know what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, but it is time for another edition of Cheap Heat, the number 903,000th podcast of all time. And very excited today because there's a lot of wrestling talk to get to. And I also want to say, because, you know, I'm big on putting this podcast over. How do we not get more credit for that? It doesn't take the fact that it doesn't take us 15 minutes to start our podcast, because almost every podcast I listen to spends
with commercials, and ads, and
it's worse
coming
than,
up later in the podcast.
It's worse than what radio is supposed to be. Like, I thought that podcasts were supposed to be better. You now literally almost every podcast I listen to, I spend like 10, 12 minutes just getting through putting over whatever random product is there. And if that's a victim of nobody wanting to advertise on our podcast, damn it, I'll take it. I don't care.
But that's also not true. We have several people
wanting to do it is different. And if anyone from ESPN is listening, there are people who want to advertise on the podcast. We have to figure out how that process is going to work. But Greg, welcome aboard. Back to Cheap Heat. And I have to tell you, I walked in this room.
You're telling me or you're telling them?
I'm telling both of you. I walked in, and what I heard was this.
New York to the heart, but got love for all. Lie, die in the fire where I learned to ball.
And after hearing his intro, the first thing I thought was,
I like a delicious chicken.
Because it smells like there was a barbecue in here. What were you just snacking on? No comment?
Chicken.
You're really living this gimmick.
The chicken with the sweet potato fries. I had to have it again.
I
went back, yeah. Barbecue sauce.
You know, I really feel slightly uncomfortable with the fact that when we finally decide on the proper Uptown Malcolm shirt, it almost feels like it has to have chicken on it. And that's, I'm uncomfortable, a little bit uncomfortable with that. But the way that you're living this gimmick, it seems like
Let's be real, though. Chicken is life, though. I've always loved chicken. I don't need it on a shirt, though. But, I mean, I have always loved chicken.
And there's another drop of you just saying, I've always loved chicken. And let's see what you were drinking. A half and half Snapple. And, you know, we've had some conversations with Greg about him going from being the physically strong to the physically large. And I will say, Greg, this is a non-diet Snapple.
It absolutely is. Well, no, I would never drink a diet Snapple anyway, though. That aftertaste is
210 calories.
Also, that's almost what it cost downstairs to buy that Snapple, which was a last-minute purchase.
$210.
No, 210 cents, which is still overpriced.
51 carbs, Greg, and 50 sugars.
I don't look at that.
Well, no, we know, but we're trying to worry about you because one day – we don't know when. I'm guessing there may be a wrestling wedding that happens. And we need to start thinking about, you know, you finding a tuxedo.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'll be ready. I'll get on my Jinder Mahal. I'm actually reading a GQ article written by Mick Rouse about Jinder's diet. For the Jinder is juicing crowd, this article seems to, at least for me, put to bed this idea that he's
Does it talk about the fact that he doesn't, like, eat at night or in the morning?
Yes.
That's part of it?
Yes, and like the insane amounts of water that he drinks.
So tell us about the Jinder diet. We'll start right there, considering I looked at the wrestling news on our sheet where it says wrestling news. Sakai Greg has five blank lines. Just five blank. Why bother with it? We don't know, but they're just blank lines. So why don't we start with the Jinder?
Those are like fill in the blank. I was going to make it fun for like...
You oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Throw it, thank you. I appreciate that. So tell us about this GQ article on Jinder. I am curious about what it says about the diet.
Well, the diet, it's insane. And he says he eats about 6 or 7 meals a day.
I like a delicious chicken.
Nope. He does like delicious chicken, but not of the Greg Hyde variety. But it's usually like rotisserie or like, you know, baked white meat chicken. But he controls the portions and he eats every 2 hours. He tries to get it every 2 hours, the same size meals, because he said that the consistency causes his body to release the fat rather than hold on to it. Because he said back in his day, he used to like eat a big meal and then just eat again whenever he felt hungry. And that causes your body to hold on to the fat because it doesn't know when you're going to eat again. But if he eats every 2 hours and he eats the same size meals every 2 hours, then
his body knows exactly what to do.
Yeah, his body knows that like it doesn't have to hold on to any just in case.
Wow, I have heard that theory. So what kind of size meal are we talking about every 2 hours?
I just read it. Hold on, it's not that large though. It's probably like 600 calories.
600 calories six times a day.
Yeah, but then like. But look at him, though. Like, he's a machine, though. So even still, that doesn't feel like a lot.
No, I mean, or maybe it's eight times a day. I mean, who knows? But so you're convinced. And what about supplements? Does he talk about supplements?
Yes, he does talk about supplements. He said he does use supplements, but, like, nothing banned. He mentioned creatine powder, which I don't know where that falls in, like, the...
I don't think creatine's banned. I don't think he'd say it, certainly, if it was.
Yeah, I don't know where that falls. But, like, for the Ginger is Juicing crowd, I don't know if they... see that and be like, aha!
Is that the name, the JIJ crowd? Not J&J Securities, but JIJ.
The JIJ, yeah. The
Ginger's Juicing. Yeah, yes. I didn't even know that was a thing. That's actually a pretty good nickname for that crowd of peckerheads that's out there. All right, very, very interesting. You know, Greg, I think the biggest thing to discuss from the week that was is the women's division and the fact that we will have, as many predicted, a women's ladder match for the very first time at Money in the Bank. The first ever women's Money in the Bank match.
I'm interested in this.
I really liked the setup for it. I was nervous when they did the thing on SmackDown where none of them got into the ring. I was like, oh, I actually didn't think that's where it was going. Maybe I'm stupid.
I didn't at first until they kept making a point of the
match hasn't started.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, so now it's definitely where it's going.
So we will get the five women contenders on SmackDown in one ladder match. And more good news for Naomi. I mean, probably not, because I'm sure she really just wants to have a match more than she wants the title. Right. But instead, she will hold her title at least through Money in the Bank. What's the next SmackDown pay-per-view after Money in the Bank? Is Great Balls of Fire SmackDown or
Great
Raw?
Great Balls of Fire is Raw.
It's a Raw. That's the next pay-per-view I'm doing. I am off the next two pay-per-views. No one.
You're off the next two?
Yeah, me and Sam went over our schedules and had to balance out. We tried to balance out the schedule because I had taken more pay-per-views than Sam had. So he took these two, and then I don't come back until Great Balls of
Fire.
Wait,
how could you were alternating though? How could you have pulled ahead?
We were alternating, but I started first. And I did the Rumble, which wasn't even on, like, our schedule.
I thought, like, both of you were going to do the Rumble, and then...
And then when it was all said and done, neither of us were. But then I ended up doing it.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying? So we just sort of worked out this schedule. And then on top of the fact that I wouldn't have been able to even do this one in Baltimore this weekend anyway, because it is a huge weekend. And we should say, we can't go any further without wishing happy birthday to Brian Dipperstein.
Oh.
The Magent. His 30th birthday bash is going down this Saturday in the City of Angels. And I just want to say, SGG, you are wholeheartedly invited. If you would just, you know, do the baller Uptown Malcolm move and just cop a ticket, nothing would make him happier. I mean, can you imagine?
Why don't you have an empty seat on your private jet?
I have to share the jet
this
time, so okay. I will not be able to do it. My problem is, what is his actual birthday? I'm a really bad friend.
This is a Greg History Week situation right here.
June 2nd is his birthday.
Okay.
Man, he's so young. June 2nd, 87. I, like, remember June 2nd, 87.
And that was, that's great. That's crazy.
What year are you born?
85.
So you're only 2 years older. So anyway,
but do you remember 9/11/85?
Pretty close to it. I really do. I'm pretty
Wait,
close.
What do you remember about June 2nd, 87?
Well, I just remember 87, a lot of things from 87.
So it's possible that one of the memories that you have is a June 2nd, like summer.
That's exactly right. I definitely remember a lot about 87. He's that young.
Mage. Major.
So happy birthday to the Magent of all Magents. I'm going to tell you guys right now, and he could hear this before it happens, but I've not been able to figure out what the birthday gift is going to be for the Magent. Because, like, I really feel pressure to not just do something random and wrestling. Feels like I have to come up with something good for his 30th.
Yeah. Because this is a big one. This is not like...
No, this is Mage.
Mage.
And he's given me wonderful gifts. And he's been such a help to my blossoming career.
Yeah, because you're still going.
It's still... We're on the rise.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. My big push started the second I signed with the Magent.
Mage.
You know, I was thinking about that today, too, actually, while I was waiting for you to arrive and enjoying some delicious chicken. Like, you're... No, but like...
I like a delicious chicken.
You're in like a crazy position, though, almost, because, you know, you have sports, right? And then you have entertainment. And then you have sports entertainment.
That's a great point, how you just put that.
And then, like, you are a valued member...
Of the WWE Universe.
And Hot 97.
Okay, thank you.
And ESPN. So, like, you are the walking embodiment of all three, but then you also have them all in one spot. You know what I mean? Like... It's crazy.
What do you mean have them all in one
like
spot?
Like, you are representative of the WWE and Hot 97 and ESPN, which is the best in sports and entertainment and sports entertainment.
Wow, that's a really great, another fantastic point. The number one hip-hop station, the number one...
The worldwide leader in sports.
That's, you know, I'm really glad you said that, the worldwide leader. And if I was able to search the library right now, which I don't think I'm capable of, I could probably play the sound effect. I'm sure we have it here. Sports Center. Let's see if I can get one to play here. No, that didn't work out. I just know it's here. My favorite thing that we have in the computer here that we play is the draft sound. The little...
Cue it up.
I don't know where it is. I don't know how to cue anything. I'll just hit this instead. This will work.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
That's just as good for the cheeky listeners.
You know what cool is? You're looking at. Nothing beats me.
All right. Back to wrestling. Sorry, guys. We might
be running into our drop quota for the...
I know. I mean, we're going too far. Anyway, so I really did enjoy the women's SmackDown situation.
But then the women's Raw situation looks awful in comparison.
And Nia Jax apparently feels the same way based on her tweet.
Yeah.
She tweeted that, you know, props to SmackDown basically for using all of the women on the roster as opposed to Raw. So she put it out there.
Yeah, and she wasn't even on Raw this week, so like it made it feel extra.
Yeah, because she wasn't there at all. And I will say one thing. Though I'm not particularly excited about seeing Sasha Banks involved in the storyline she's involved in, and I do feel that it like lowers her a little bit.
Okay, because that was going to be my question. Do you think it's a demotion?
It does lower her a little bit. However, it does give the rub... to everyone else involved.
Like, right, but
that match felt much bigger. The pop at the end of the match on Raw this week was bigger just because Sasha was near it. I feel that way.
Okay, but here's the issue, right? Here's my issue, right?
Please.
You send Sasha Banks to 205 Live to make the division feel bigger, right? Or not even the division, but the show itself at least.
Mm-hmm.
But you send her to 205 Live to participate in a mid-card feud. And this is a three-time women's champion. And it's like Finn Balor is hovering around cruiserweight weight. Would you send him to 205 Live if the show needs to struggle that much? He's a former champion as well.
It's a very good point.
But they would not. And you definitely wouldn't do it to have him feud with anyone but the cruiserweight champion, who is currently Neville. He wouldn't be... on 205 Live wrestling Noam Dar.
Well, no, you're absolutely
not to
right.
say that 205 Live is beneath anyone on the roster, but it's like, I mean, if you're building this division around the cruiserweight, you either have to let them take the ball or you know, not use some of your main best stuff to get that shot in the arm.
I do wonder why they went there. It is interesting. We have audio. Do you hear Sasha spoke on this?
I did not.
We have audio, Sasha. Here she is.
You're hurting me.
I don't know why they would have ended up in this situation. It doesn't, like, it does feel like a demotion because, I mean, there's no way to get around it. Alexa and Bayley are definitively at the top of the Raw Women's Division. Like, their story is the story. That's it. I mean, we can get into the repugly written This Is Your Life that they gave to Alexa this week.
The less said about that, the better, but...
I mean, I thought Alexa did with it what she could, but it was... I mean, there was nothing there. It just wasn't good, you know? And as good as Alexa is, it was handing her a lot. It's like, this is a big segment with lots of moving pieces, and you now have her, who's still new...
Mm-hmm.
Having to lead this segment with non-performers, right. Non-WWE performers.
And it reminded me of the Rock and Sock This Is Your Life segment. And
it doesn't matter what your name is!
It feels like every time they go back to that, it's just never as good as that. They should just, like, leave it alone.
Yeah,
it should be the last This Is Your Life segment.
I agree. They always are. This is, like, the third or fourth time they've tried to harken back to that since. And not one time has it ever been close to what that was.
Yeah, and it's been appallingly bad. It's getting worse and worse every time.
Like, there's something you could do in place of that, coming up with a segment that would make more sense. And they already also used the Charlotte Bailey thing, where Charlotte had the pictures of Bailey, and that seemed more organic and more actually real. But, yeah, so that segment was rough. I really felt for Alexa watching it, like, this is what... This is what was out there. Okay. But that being said, it really does that for Raw, 3-hour show, there's now two women's stories, which is cool, but the second one is a 205 Live story.
Right.
And they're not really the wrestlers in this story. I mean, now they're going to have a mixed tag match this weekend at Extreme Rules, in which I'm guessing we put this to bed. Now,
how many times has it been put, like, there's been so many fake endings, though. Like, Alicia Fox dumped Noam and then got dumped by not even dumped, but Rich Swann just fake exposed her, and that should have been the end of it. And that was, I think, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months ago.
It was a while ago. This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it needs to stop.
Now, you could argue, let me play devil's advocate, you could argue that the real upside here is that they don't really generally have room on a pay-per-view for more than one women's story. And by moving her over to where they did, you're now utilizing Sasha on the pay-per-view, as opposed to it just being a women's match that she's not involved in. And frankly, you can't have a triple threat match every pay-per-view.
Or you make more room for the women instead of, like...
Oh, that's a crazy idea that you just said.
Yeah, just you have the time. You have 3 hours... plus of Raw, because they run over every week.
It doesn't always have to be about the
championship.
Basically.
So, it is a little bit interesting. Of course, you know, I've always liked Alicia, so I like seeing Alicia get a little bit of rub, a little bit of screen time. But, yeah, it's not thrilling for me. I'm not going to lie. And I think truthfully, when you look at where we are right now, SmackDown is still kicking Raw's ass. Like, it hasn't changed. SmackDown is still kicking Raw's ass. The Raw show has just not been what it can be. And I know that Braun Strowman certainly threw a wrench into things, but let's be honest, it wasn't great when Braun was there.
Right, it was great for Braun.
It was great for Braun, and we all popped and really enjoyed right. Braun, but it wasn't great overall. So they just kind of continue to get it handed to them by SmackDown. Now, and granted, SmackDown now and leading up to Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank's always an odd lead-up because you're involving all these people who aren't really involved, and you're smashing them all together into a storyline, which will lead us to the fact that AJ Styles did the honors to Dolph this week, which is another thing altogether. But, yeah, you end up sort of jamming this stuff together, which is problematic. Now, there's cool things about it. Like, Dipperstein and I blatantly disagreed.
Major.
about he really didn't like seeing Nakamura in a random tag match last week. He thought it was too soon for him to just be in like a regular match. I enjoyed it because I thought the people that he was in the ring with and getting to see wrestlers of that ilk all in a match together, like, I'm cool with that. Like, I love getting to see Nakamura pin Kevin Owens.
Like, and what I'm with you. Like, I don't think it was too soon. I think what was good about it is that you get to see Nakamura without really giving him too much action. So, like, yeah, he was in the tag match, and yeah, he wrestled a little bit and hit his big move, but you still kind of keep
him. You didn't see that much.
Yeah, you still kind of keep him special. Like, he's...
The only thing you could argue you're getting tired of when it comes to Nakamura is this. I take it back. When I played it, it felt really good.
Yeah, it's...
But I do think that, like, the big entrance needs to be saved.
Yes.
You know, it's sort of the way I feel about Demon Finn. Like, you gotta save it. Not every week, not every time that he has a match should the lights completely go out, slow build every single time.
Right.
Sometimes it should be abbreviated. That's what I would say. Keep that entrance special. And I don't think it is at this point, though I still pop for it. I think you do want to keep things around him special. And I know I'm the guy who said I'm bringing it to the table a few weeks ago, like, just let the guy wrestle already. I was kind of sick of it. But, and that goes against this, but I do think you got to keep that special because part of his thing, I mean, listen, we talked about this last week some. I mean, he is not the youngest guy. We don't have years and years and years of Nakamura, just like we don't have years and years and years of AJ Styles. So you're not going to get a version of Nakamura in the ring that are, you know, the matches he had in Japan 7 years ago. But that being said, you know, so you need to make him special. So you can't burn out the things that do make him really
right.
special. You know, because his in-ring work is still great, but I think most people would agree his best in-ring work is probably behind him. You know,
you never know, though. I wouldn't say that.
You never know. You never know. And he could, but I'm not saying, let me put it this way. I'm not saying he couldn't have even better moments, because I think the WWE, that big a stage and the level of talent you're working with and the things that you learn there, making things entertaining, can make things even bigger than they were previously. However, his actual, like, crazy in-ring work is not going to be, I don't think, probably what it was. He's just older. I mean, it's...
And he's probably going to...
He's not AJ. I mean, AJ is a freak. AJ is an absolute freak. Like, you know, Nakamura is an amazing package. I don't believe he's AJ Styles. I think we may have even argued this before.
Yeah, we had this
argument. I don't think he's AJ Styles. I don't think anyone's AJ Styles when it comes to actual in-ring work. I don't think you're going to see anyone else with 40, 41 years old, whatever he is, flying around so comfortably the way AJ does and still literally looking in, like, the best shape of his life.
And again, like I said, that's Nakamura doesn't have to do that. Like, he has the strong style. He can deliver great matches fighting his style of fight, but I think...
And you know what? To your point, he can actually do that for longer because
right.
he doesn't have to do that much.
And that's the thing, too. I think he almost has, like, a new style, which is, like, a safe WWE version of the strong style that he uses.
That's... Chris Hero was sort of schooling me some on Nakamura's past when I saw him last time, when we were watching his match, putting myself over again. And he was sort of explaining to me the way his style came to be and, like, how different, how the character version of him now, the Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury-influenced version of his character wasn't always there. How he, at one point, was much more generic wrestler with the strong style, and how now the character he has takes the two and meshes them mm-hmm. together.
Because Nakamura was an MMA fighter. He actually has a pretty
right.
good record, too.
I know, which is also very interesting. I gotta see that. Let's see if I can find. Are these available? You think?
Probably on the YouTube for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't recall seeing a clip of him getting his face kicked off like Alberto Del Rio.
But, how dare you!
But Alberto Del Rio also deserved it. Like, why would you fight with a mask on and block your vision?
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Daniel Gracie.
I'm gonna go ahead and say he probably lost that one.
You just heard the name Gracie and got shook.
Yeah, that tends to happen in MMA.
Wow, it's interesting. It's just interesting even seeing him there. Let's hear the commentary.
さんデビュー2戦目ということになりますんでね、どんなファイトをするか注目なんですか。
You hear that guy? That sounded like the Japanese stat guy, Greg. I don't know why.
I heard him.
You heard it, right? There was a little... It's interesting. He does appear to be sort of straight-up strong style in this as well. This is from 2002. He looks so different.
He has this, like, the short brown hair.
Yeah, the short brown hair. It's very weird, I got to tell you. I don't even get the hair that he has now. That's his, right?
That is, yeah.
He really does have, like, sort of a Jerry curl.
The Japanese are interesting with their style choices.
Well, and they're very, listen, they're very, very on all levels into Black American culture.
Yeah, this is true.
So maybe he does have a Jerry curl in homage. Maybe he was a big coming to America guy. You know what I'm saying? We don't know.
Soul Glow?
Gotta let that soul. Anyways, so moving right along, let's talk about Shinsuke Nakamura and Kevin Owens. Do you like the American KO shirt?
Oh, I love it. It's right in time for all those holidays, that Memorial Day, the July 4th.
Oh, yeah, you can wear it to the barbecue this summer.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. By the way, could there be... there may have never, by the way, this is a war. This is a straight up fight. There has never been a more, has there ever been a heel with more shirts than KO?
Not in recent memory. But his shirts are all fire too, though. I love his shirts. I love the shorts too. They don't release the shorts fast enough for me. But
did they release the shorts?
They released a pair. I think they released two pairs. They released the black and gray ones and then the black and red ones. And the black and red ones had pockets.
Why am I forgetting the third person in their match this week?
The third person? Who are you talking about? And Sami Zayn?
Sorry, it was a tag. It ended up, at first it was core of the three of them in the ring, and then a tag match with Sami.
Yep.
I got to tell you, I think that...
That says a lot about...
No, how dare you. Don't say that. Don't say
it's
that.
It's true, though. How could you forget Baron Corbin?
I do think that's good for Baron Corbin and Sammy standing next to KO and Nakamura.
Well, I mean, Sammy is in that company. It's good for Baron Corbin, though.
Wow. So are you 100% more confident in the place of Sammy than Baron Corbin?
In what way? What do you mean by that?
Well, you said he's in that. Sammy from a wrestling... you mean from a wrestling standpoint.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sammy's
sure,
in that
from a
company.
Wrestling standpoint.
Not that he's like more safely in the company than Corbin. Because I think Corbin's just as safely in the company as Sami Zayn.
Yeah, for sure.
They're very into Baron Corbin. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, which, I mean...
There people have mixed feelings on that.
Right.
For sure. And I do think that there's still something missing. Doesn't Baron Corbin seem like the perfect example of someone who would benefit from a manager? Like someone to talk for him a bit? Like, I just don't believe him on the microphone yet. And I don't fully know who the character is yet.
I agree with you on that when you flesh it out that way, because I don't believe him on the microphone. Like, he sounds like he's trying to convince everybody that he's tough so that they don't mess with him. But then when you mess with him, you find out that he's a punk.
Right. And honestly, when he's trying to tell you that he's tough, I don't believe it coming from him.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, I don't want to say Heyman, because I don't think Heyman should be the only person who is an agent. Or whatever he is.
But that's the other problem, too. They don't have too many people in that Heyman role these days that you can believe. You know what I mean? Because even...
Maybe Baron Corbin should sign with the Titus brand.
But see, that's the thing. Those are the only two options. He doesn't fit with either of them.
No. By the way, when are they going to do... When are they going to take... What is the holdup in making the Titus brand, like, directly playing on Big Baller brand?
Wasn't the Titus brand... Doesn't it predate...
It does. But I would now go in reverse. I would do the whole thing saying he has a deal for Apollo Crews, but we're not signing anywhere. I would do all of it. I would jack everything. The second Charlie says something, I'd be like, stay in your lane. I would take all of it. Don't you think? Like, I don't think they're even fully committed to who the Titus brand is. Like, I interviewed Titus a few weeks ago, and I tried to ask him, like, you know, is he... I thought the Titus brand character originally is like the fake Don King in Rocky V. Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring. That guy.
Which would be the perfect role for the Titus brand.
That's what I think the Titus brand is. Now, you know, wrestlers are like actors, and they are actors, but they also like to defend their characters sometimes. So he's like, no, he's not quite like that. But then he was like, well, he is kind of like a Don King. But I'm like, I think he should be kind of nefarious and trying to get over on these guys. Like he's propping them up, but he should also be taking from them. You know what I'm saying?
It feels like he is, though, too, in a way.
In a way, I just think it's a little halfway there. And because you now have such a mainstream story in LeVar Ball, who's so easy to make fun of, like, why not? Why not? Like, I would come out with a sneaker, too. I would do the whole thing.
That would be good.
Why not come out with if it's not a sneaker, something else that you can tell that's what the bit is.
Right.
And saying all the companies want it, we're not signing there. Apollo Crews is the best athlete in the WWE. He won't do blah, blah, blah. Maybe even say he won't even allow Apollo Crews anymore to be on Raw or SmackDown. He's not signing to one brand. He's with this brand. He's with the Titus brand.
And then where does he wrestle with the Titus brand?
Wherever the Titus brand feels like having him wrestle. But no one's deserving of him. You know, it's one of those moments. What's happening with Titus and Apollo Crews, in my opinion, is one of those moments when we're just halfway in, halfway out.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like it's going to fade away. And I could probably go look through the show here.
You know what the other issue with the Titus brand is, too, though? Is that, like you said, it's one foot in, one foot out. Because if Titus is going to go all in with the Titus brand, he should not put on his trunks, like, almost never.
I agree. And I would have, if you're going to have him win over Kalisto, he's so big, I would have had him do it in a suit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to cheat anyway.
Yeah.
So he's in his suit and his shoes, and he's like, I'll do it in my suit, but I'm not putting on my trunks. You don't have enough money to put Titus O'Neil in his trunks again. You ain't got enough money.
Yeah.
You know, y'all had that opportunity, and you don't have it anymore. I run a brand. I don't put on my trunks. I should be writing the whole damn show. Just give me the pencil, guys. Give me the pencil.
I'll
do it right now. Greg literally almost handed me a pencil. Here, give me that. Thank you. I'm taking the
pencil. That's UP. That's
a really bad pencil. This is not a number two. Confirmed. Oh, it says number two, but this is not like
a number
two.
I've never seen one like that, but you know what?
Do you think I should auction off the sheet of paper where Kevin Owens wrote KO is best in WWE?
Do you have it?
Yeah. By the way, I can't tell who won. No, the winner was Gracie. Damn it. I got to tell you, though, he's a good fighter. Like, sort of unorthodox, not surprisingly. But he's the real deal.
Yeah, he wasn't playing with them in MMA.
Did I already put over my story last week about Nakamura and Hideo?
No.
I just said it in the group chat. I didn't say it on the air.
I don't think you said it at all. I don't remember reading this in the group chat.
That after the show, I was watching and catering Nakamura and Itami talking in Japanese, and I just so desperately wanted to speak Japanese.
Do you speak Japanese, like, a little bit?
No. Arigato gozaimasu.
Moshi moshi. Hashiru.
Sumimasen. I have, like, three
words.
Yeah,
that's all I know, too.
What was the second one you said?
Hashiru.
What's hashiru?
Run.
Wow, good for you. Of course. Why do you need that? You're physically strong.
Well, I wasn't always this physically strong.
That's a very good point. You weren't always this physically large, either.
No.
I like a delicious chicken.
All right. I'm not very interested in anything going on with the 205 Live lot. I got to tell you, I mostly fast forward through Austin Aries, Gallagher, and TJP and Neville. Does that make me a bad guy? I know it's good wrestling.
Think it makes you a bad guy.
Am I a bad wrestling fan that I didn't watch that and I did watch Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins?
Nope, because that was one of the two best matches of the night.
What was the other one?
The triple threat. Samoa Joe, Finn Balor.
That was nice. That was a fun combination of people to see.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I was feeling like such a shill the other day when I was watching that moment because I was just thinking about like how great it is that this company, no matter what we say, ultimately the guys you want to see are always there. And you got to see those three guys in the ring together. Like getting to see Bray and Samoa Joe work together. Like that's a moment. This is a moment. Dare I say, by God, it's so cool to see. Have you ever noticed, not in a muscular way, but just in terms of pure size, how ridiculously huge Bray Wyatt's arms are?
I have.
They're bigger than the 24-inch pythons.
Yeah, they are.
I think they are.
But the thing is, I wouldn't say not in a muscular way, though. I feel like it's a weird mix of just,
it's
like,
a mix. It's not that they're not muscular. Yeah. He's definitely muscular. He's a jacked dude, yeah, for sure. But he's got fat over it. And then he's
right.
And then he's big. I mean, look at his, he's got that Black Jack Mulligan.
I wouldn't call it fat, though. I guess stocky is
the best word
for it.
Would you go as far as calling him husky?
not to his face. I know he hates that, but... But yeah, like I would not all in on him being fat. He's just like,
no, he's definitely not, certainly not all fat at all. He's definitely jacked, but his arms are crazy big. Also, we mentioned Hulk Hogan, so.
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy.
Works every time. I got to tell you, I can't really get over how different Nakamura looks. Like, I'm staring at him.
He was a little bit more muscular back then, too, right, if I'm not mistaken?
His body type's different. And I guess I can see his face, but I'm, like, staring into his face, and I'm like, is that him? Because everything looks so different.
Right.
But it's not possible that there's another man whose name is spelled Shinsuke Nakamura, correct?
Well, I mean, the Japanese will surprise you, but it's not likely, though.
What does the Japanese will surprise me mean?
It means that, like, there might be a couple more Shinsuke Nakamuras out there. Like, I don't know how common, like, Nakamura could be like Williams.
That's a very good
point.
So
there's a lot of Bill Williams running around.
And Steve Williams.
Yeah.
Dr. Death Steve. Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So. I'll tell you this, though. I know it's him because then you look over here and right next to it says Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kurt Angle from 2008. And Shinsuke looks mad different back then, too. It was very confusing. This is him versus Alexei Ignashov. Yo, yes, he fought a lot of fights, huh? A lot come up on YouTube.
Yeah, he had five, so.
Oh, just five total?
After that fifth one, you'll be done. You'll start seeing repeats after that.
What'd he do in the five fights?
He lost that first one. That was his first fight. He lost that one. And then I think this one is a no contest. And then three wins.
See, now you're doing what I expect from you, Stack Guy Greg. You're delivering stats. Do you see that?
Here it is.
You do more than eat delicious chicken.
Well, yeah, I'm not.
You don't do anything better than eat delicious chicken.
No.
But you still do other things. All right, SGG. So let's tell us. Give us your fanboy moment. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. We saw it. The Shield reunited. Well, in combat. What were your thoughts?
I think I thought what everybody else thought. That was a great match. You know, like I said, Roman Reigns. Well, I didn't say this here, but I do believe this, and I'm willing to say it here.
Hold on. Let me put this on my Snap.
Yeah, let's get this.
All right, go ahead.
Roman Reigns does not have a bad match ever. WrestleMania aside, he just delivers every time, especially when you put him in the ring with the opponent. The caliber of Seth Rollins, who also is stringing together a lot of major matches like that. That match was definitely perfect for the main event.
And I'll tell you what, I think it was something that Seth needed because I haven't been that interested in Seth recently. And I feel that that match, it made him look bigger. It made him, it elevated him,
yeah.
which is a testament to what Roman does. And I know there are people vomiting in their mouth when Greg says that Roman doesn't have a bad match ever. There could be people, I'm sure they're going to get tweets from people who say, he doesn't have a good match ever, but that's not true.
Categorically false.
Now listen, I'm not going to be Greg who, have you put Roman in your top 10 yet? Is he behind Brett yet at number two? Or right near Harley Race? Where is he? Has he surpassed Harley Race yet?
Well, he's passed Shawn Michaels already, like easily, by far.
You actually think
that? I'll say this.
You actually think?
Yes.
If you actually think there
are people who feel like certain wrestlers are all-time greats. And I'm of the opinion that while these people have had great careers, they are what I would like to call an our-time great, meaning that once that era, like you leave that era, and then you can't really take them into the upper echelon of wrestling greats. And when Roman Reigns is done, he's not going to be an our time great. He's going to be an all-time great. And you can say that about Seth Rollins. I'm not sure you can say that about some of the other guys on the roster, but definitely Roman Reigns, definitely Seth Rollins, definitely AJ Styles.
You're talking about the ones who will be all-time greats.
Yes, when it's all said and done. And I mean, listen, we love Shawn Michaels, and I mean wrestling fans, but when it's all said and done.
Do you? Do you really love Shawn Michaels?
I don't, but I mean, I'm a wrestling fan, so I majority rules on that one. But I feel like Seth Rollins is on pace to blowing his career.
I don't know
out
if I have Shawn top 10.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
I don't know if I have Shawn top 10.
Say that one more time, what you just said.
Seth Rollins is on pace to having a career that will blow Shawn Michaels' career out of the water. At this age, what was Shawn Michaels doing?
How old is Seth?
Seth, I think, is about to turn 30, if he's not 30 already.
Do you want to actually look at the math and see where Shawn was at this point in his career? Because it was pretty good.
Shawn Michaels was not a world champion at 30.
He was damn close. He was probably IC champion at 30.
And who cares? Seth Rollins already has the world championship.
But by the way, things have changed. The championships get thrown around now.
Oh, my God.
Back then, the IC championship meant something. I don't know if you're aware of that.
It means something now.
It means something to Jace. It doesn't mean something like it did then.
I'll say this about the Intercontinental Championship, too, man. WWE is, it's almost, it's funny how they rewrite the history when it's convenient. Like,
Actually, you really are just playing yourself in horrible fashion.
No, it's true, though, because, like, the IC title, right, it means a lot right now.
He won the championship in 96 at 31 years old.
Who did? Shawn Michaels?
Shawn.
He wasn't 30. He wasn't under 30.
Maybe he wasn't under 30, but he was damn close. And at that time, he'd already been a multi-time IC title and a tag title holder.
Seth Rollins held the United States Championship and the WWE Championship at the same time.
And are we really
and
only...
And Seth Rollins was a tag team champion.
Do you think his tag team career is as good as Shawn Michaels' tag team career?
Hell yeah! The Rockers were trash!
And what tag team, the Shield, do you think will be more meaningful in history than the Rockers?
Yes.
But even though they weren't even a true tag team, they were like a faction more than a tag team.
Yes, they will be. The Shield is already better than the Rockers. Shield is already, as a faction, the Shield is probably the number one faction in wrestling history.
By the way, you know you can't even have the Shield. The Shield breakup is barbershop window adjace-esque.
I mean, get out of here.
You're going to take away the significance of that moment?
Listen. The barbershop window.
You have to calm down.
The barbershop
you're out
window.
Of control.
Hold on. The barbershop window. Epic moment. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I'm glad you're not going to lie. Thank you. Applause. You're not going to lie. Good. You're not going to lie to all of us.
The
congratulations.
The barbershop window was an epic moment, but at the same time, it's like it was the moment though. Like, didn't really care about Marty Jannetty that much.
But that's how good Shawn is too. Shawn's entire style is a forefather to Seth's. But first of all,
which is fine.
But
people have forefathers. Like, you could go down the list of our greats and you can point to one of their forefathers. So that doesn't disqualify Seth.
But at this point, here's why what you're saying is absolutely ludicrous. For Seth to get to the level of Shawn, he has so many moments to reach. Shawn has so many moments that are so epic, and including matches, including iconic moments with a little guy you may have heard of. His name is...
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
And
you
yet,
can't, you
and
can't,
yet,
come on, you can't give a guy
credit for what you, and
for riding the coattail?
Hold
like
on, hold on, hold on,
two?
Hold on. You don't think Shawn helped Bret at all? You think Bret only helped Shawn? Read Bret's book.
I read the book.
So
I
even
the book.
Even when Bret hates Shawn, he still never discredited his work. He still never tried to say that Shawn wasn't incredible in the ring. Even when Shawn was a D-nozzle.
Shawn Michaels is overrated, and I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I didn't say that he couldn't be seen as overrated.
Right.
But you're trying to say that, without a doubt, Seth Rollins on the path to blowing him out of the water?
Yes.
That's it's It would be like saying a player who's won one championship is on a path to blowing out a player who's won seven championships. There's still so much to get to. Has he had his Iron Man match moment yet? And that's an early moment. Has he had that moment yet?
You don't want to talk about Shawn Michaels' early days, though, because they're filled with mostly duds. And that's not a thing that you can say about Seth Rollins. Like, you had the Shield versus Evolution. Those two matches were phenomenal. Like, they revolutionized the six-man tag match. Seth Rollins was in probably the greatest lumberjack matches of all time. Like, Seth Rollins took matches that you would think are boring traditionally, like that would be popcorn matches, and he made them revolutionary. Him, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. Like, they perfected...
You think they revolutionized
the six-man tag? Yes.
Yeah, why? Why is it revolutionized?
Did you watch their six-man tag matches?
I watched many of them. But why revolutionized? Because, I mean, they were good. They were enjoyable.
No, they weren't just good. They were great. And that's a testament to their ring IQ, that they were able to put together so many six-man tag matches that were different and great.
They also instantly had a rocket strapped to their back.
So? How is that?
I'm just saying, you're saying, by virtue of the fact that they instantaneously got to have huge moments, whereas Shawn actually had an old-school, traditional build.
Hold on.
And had to really work his way up.
Out, because here's the thing, right? You're saying that the eras were different, and you're using that as a way to both discredit Seth Rollins and also, like, discredit Shawn Michaels. So if you're going to say that the eras were different, fine. That's cool. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say that when I say that Seth Rollins is on the path.
No, but I said that in both cases that the eras are different. I'm saying the same thing in both. The eras are different in that Shawn Michaels didn't get to get to huge moments right away, because that's not how things worked. And he wasn't at a time where the title was tossed around back and forth like it was nothing.
Okay, but you're using that to discredit arguments against, but then you're also saying that the eras were different and as a way to discredit Seth Rollins and dismantle arguments for. And like,
I think when you start going crazy about someone you like, I thought I was hyperbolic about Kendrick. This is...
No, you weren't hyperbolic about Kendrick, though. You were absolutely right.
I know I was, but this is... You're hyperbolic.
If you are going to tell me...
You're biased. You are anti-Shawn biased.
Well, no, I'm anti-both, actually. But if I have to choose between Shawn and Seth, I'm going Seth. Seth is already...
You're anti-Seth.
Yes, I'm anti-Seth.
You don't think Seth's great?
No, I do think Seth is great. But my anti-Shawn and my anti-Seth are like separate, for separate reasons. But I will say this. I cannot take anything away from Seth Rollins' in-ring work. He's incredible now. And he's young. He's still learning. So in...
You know, a lot of people are going to be asking you why you're anti-Seth now.
That's fine.
You're going to be asked about this worldwide.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. But in 10, 15 years, like when it's all said and done, Seth is no doubt going to be one of the all-time greats.
Listen, I'm not saying he couldn't be. I think he is one of the greatest.
But what you're saying is that he's not on the path right now.
The path, he be on the path? Sure.
What you're saying is that Shawn Michaels' place is so solidified that to mention Seth Rollins in the breath of Shawn Michaels is offensive.
Yeah. I think Shawn, and by the way, you know I'm not like, Shawn's not in my personal top five, probably, for me personally.
Right.
But I still think Shawn is so etched in terms of the many eras in which he was great.
That's fair to say.
Now, like, so Seth
that's
has
fair.
Seth has so many eras in which he'd have to be great. Like, remember, Shawn had memorable moments in wrestling feeling still like the cheesy 80s, and then he had amazing moments in Attitude Era. I mean, let's not forget WrestleMania, Mike Tyson, Steve Austin, then jump later in Ruthless Aggression with Triple H. He had multiple stories there which were amazing. And then let's not forget him retiring Ric Flair. You know, let alone his Undertaker matches. I mean, this goes on for a very long time.
And what I'm saying to you is that when Seth Rollins gets that time in,
if he does.
If he does, there's
no guarantee that anyone gets to do that. Shawn came back after what his career could have been over.
Right. He took a 4-year break and came back. But what I'm saying is if Seth Rollins gets that same amount of time, he is going to be in that same exact conversation.
Hashtag Seth versus Sean. Who knew we would go there? You're a crazy man. Full on crazy man. Dean Ambrose and the Hardy Boys defeated The Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro. Wasn't that into the open of the show. I think they're also, there's a little bit too much, let's just get a pop and throw out the Hardys.
That's what they're there for.
Don't do that, but you can't do it all the time. You're gonna ruin it.
But they do that all the time with everybody that gets a pop, though.
I know, and so now, like, the Hardys are just like a in case of emergency break. Like, you can always pull out the Hardys. And
not
the
even
music
in case
gets,
of emergency
yeah,
break.
Yeah, just, like,
there's
start
no
the
glass.
Show. Yeah. There's not even glass. Just go. Just go. We're going to start like that.
Right.
Did you enjoy the Fashion Files?
I did.
They're really doing good stuff still.
I did. They need that on the network.
As a full show?
Not even as a full show, but like...
All of them, though.
Yeah, there are network shows that are just like, quote-unquote shows that are like 3 minutes long.
Yeah, all the Fashion Files should go up on the network.
Yeah.
It's a very... You know what?
Put it in one spot.
You know what? I know some people. I'm going to have a conversation about that.
Yeah, please do.
All right. If you get that done, know that it came from the mind of Stat Guy Greg.
Please start that conversation.
Usos with another good promo, interrupted by the New Day. What are your thoughts?
I'm looking forward to the eventual match. And I'm not going to lie, I like the Usos on the mic now, so I think the verbal jousting and the match will both be of high quality. So I'm looking forward to the whole program.
It would be fun to see. Here's the thing, though. I kind of want to see the New Day get settled on who the wrestlers are.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't like the switching off all the time. It's like, can we be clear that, like, Xavier's on the mic and outside the ring is manager and it's going to be Big E and Kofi?
That takes away a huge advantage of them for them, though.
No, like, they can still take advantage of it. They can still take advantage of it. I don't know. To me, there's something that makes it confusing about, like, when I picture what the matches look like. I can't mean this is my own nerdiness and, like, paranoia. I want to be able to picture the matches, but I sort of can't.
Because you don't know who's going to be in it?
Because I don't know who's going to be in it. But I am excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, as am I.
All right, what else do you have from this week's SGG that stands out to you?
Well, really, that's it. I mean, the Randy Orton came out and gave a sort of bland, I don't want to say another, but it was a sort of bland promo directed at Jinder Mahal. And then Jinder Mahal came back and seemed to do really well on the mic, going towards their Money in the Bank confrontation. But we got Extreme Rules to preview before we get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot that we also have Extreme Rules. Spend so much time arguing about Shawn Michaels and your crazy thoughts about Seth Rollins. So let's do it. Extreme Rules. Break it down.
Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox.
Sasha. Thoughts?
I'm going to go with Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, just because I don't feel like this is over, and that extends it a little bit.
You know what we never got to play during when you're talking about Seth?
All that aggression inside you, you chose to take it out on an inanimate object. And not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up!
It never gets
old. I'm warning you guys right now. I'm going to have to play that one more time before the show.
Never gets old.
All right. Okay. So I'll go Sasha. You're going the other way.
Yep. Submission match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Neville versus Austin Aries.
Neville versus Austin Aries. I think I'm going to go Austin Aries this time.
Yeah, same. I feel this is his third crack at it.
I mean, at some point, what's the point? It's all about the... I think it's time.
Same.
I hope it works too, because I don't know that Aries has the crowd doesn't seem to get Aries as much as I hope they would.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but he's definitely like he's gold, like on the mic in the ring.
He's got a lot of potential, but also he's working,
has a proven track record.
But he's got to work babyface against Neville, which I don't know. I feel like heel Aries could be better for this crowd. The suit, the glasses, talking trash.
Oh yeah, for sure. But, I mean...
But I still think he's awesome.
They already have a solid heel champ, so I don't know what...
All right, steel cage match for the Raw Tag Team Championship. I will go Hardy Boys.
The Pigeon!
I am going to go Sheamus and Cesaro.
The Pigeon!
I feel like the Hardy Boys...
Don't need it?
They don't need it. But also, something has to be the catalyst for them to. If they're gonna go broken, Matt Hardy, they need to do it soon.
They do. Why do they need to do it soon, you think?
Because I don't feel like they have that much time left with the Hardy Boys.
You don't think they're going to be here for at least a year?
Well, they're going to be here for at least a year, but I mean, I don't think they're going to be here for forever. You know what I mean? People don't have forever to wait around. And also,
it's still hot. You also want to,
right.
You want Delete to still be an exciting thing.
Right. So you got to get the ball rolling, and something has to be the catalyst.
Is it done yet? Can they legally do it yet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be litigation over it, and that's going to take forever. But
in the meantime, you think they can do it anyway?
In the meantime, I would just do it and then force Impact to bring them into court. And then when you get into court, have Matt Hardy just dismantle their argument. Just do it anyway.
And have Jeff Hardy hit a swanton.
Of course. That's the only way to end it.
All right. That's fine. I see what you're saying, but I'll still go Hardy Boys. Kendo Stick on a pole match. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley.
I think we can both agree that it's going to be Alexa Bliss.
I would assume so. It really wouldn't make sense to start this build up for her
championship
and then have her give it right back in a match that really doesn't seem to benefit Bayley.
Right.
Even though obviously she's going to get her moment.
You think so though?
She hasn't gotten the stick yet.
Right, and I don't think she should. I really don't think she should.
You think she should never use it?
I think she should get it. And then
not get to use
it. She's such a goody two shoes that she hesitates to use it, and then she gets it snatched out of her hand. She gets beat down with it, and then loses,
and then from then on they have something that's like, oh, Bayley's too nice to block,
right?
Because it's still such a babyface-ish thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And she needs to be more of an underdog. Like, I feel like part of the reason she hasn't connected with the crowd is because she hasn't been as much of an underdog on the main roster. Everybody just heard about how likable she is.
What if she won in spite of not using the kendo stick?
No, I wouldn't like that. I need her to take some more lumps before she
like, what if she got it and broke it?
No. Nope.
What if she got it and broke it and stabbed Alexa with it?
Now, see? That we can get behind.
No, that's too far. Okay. I will go. Yeah, we'll go Alexa Bliss. Dean Ambrose versus The Miz.
I'm going with The Miz.
I don't know. All right, just to argue with you, I'll do Dean Ambrose. And finally, the Fatal 5-Way, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, winner gets Brock. Where are we going?
This one?
Does the winner get Brock at Great Balls of Fire?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
This one is the hardest to predict.
It is. Because, like, you don't want to go right back to Roman. It seems like that's... And it's such an easy way to have Roman lose in a way that they're okay with because it's a Fatal 5-Way.
Yeah.
So, like, they could have him lose and it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I really don't know who... And I feel like all of these guys would be good matchups for Brock for different reasons.
I'm going with my guy, Samoa Joe. How do you like them apples?
That's a strong pick. That is a good.
I because Brock is a baby face now anyway. Joe can lose, but have a challenging match with him and still look good from it.
Yeah.
I'll go Samoa Joe.
You know what? I'm going to go Finn Balor. I feel like the company tipped their hand.
Really? How so?
Well, by having Paul Heyman confront him and like tell him how capable he is, that he would be as a challenger.
Mr. Balor.
Yeah, I'm going to go Finn Balor just because of that. But, you know, probably the reason that it won't be him is because the company tipped their hand. But, you know, you never know. So.
All right, SGG, it's been a pleasure seeing you again. Have a wonderful weekend. Where are you going?
I'm staying right here. Why'd you think?
You're always going away somewhere.
No, not this weekend. This weekend is a New York City uptown weekend.
Uptown Malcolm.
But before I go... I have some stats.
What? Please regale us.
New York to the heart, but got love for all.
Earlier in the show, you asked what was the next SmackDown pay-per-view after Money in the Bank.
Okay.
That is Battleground.
Got it. Okay.
Live from Philadelphia, PA.
From Philadelphia, PA, on my birthday.
On your birthday.
July 23rd, yep.
And courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, I thought these were some cool stats that they sent out. none of the men in the Fatal 5-Way have suffered a loss at Extreme Rules events. So I think Roman Reigns is 4-0. Seth Rollins is 3-0. Bray Wyatt is 1-0.
Wow.
Finn Balor and Samoa Joe haven't competed at Extreme Rules, so therefore they haven't lost yet either. So
Wow, very interesting.
One man is going to remain undefeated, and then the other four are going to have a blemish on the Extreme Rules record after this main event.
All right, what else you got?
Dean Ambrose is also undefeated at Extreme Rules. He is also 4-0, but he's also 6-2 against The Miz in one-on-one matches. So based on the stats, I think you might have picked right with Dean Ambrose. And finally, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy haven't lost a match of any kind since returning to the WWE. So based on the stats.
Well, that could bode well for you.
Yeah, but I mean, based on the stats, though. The momentum's on their side, so.
Well, feel free to jump in and tweet us about your Sean versus Seth comments. And SGG, have a wonderful weekend. Happy birthday to the Magent.
Yes, happy birthday, Dip.
The Dipperstein. And stay mage, Uptown Malcolm. And also remember this.
All that aggression inside you, you chose to take it out on an inanimate object. And not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up. Shut your mouth!